I think we start off this episode with a little bit of ranting.
I agree.
We've got a pair of stories, really, that don't necessarily fit in with anything we wanted to talk about this episode.
Yeah.
They were still in the headlines, though. Or maybe not in the headlines, but still talked about enough to the point where I was, like, pissed off about
for
it.
For sure. One of them, personally, hits home. Because you'll see if you take a trip on over to our Instagram, like we talk about all the time. Follow while you're there, of course. And you look at the comments on videos. Has been happening recently, but it used to happen all the time where people are like, oh, if this is your work, this is your work, you need to dress like it. Why are they in sweatpants? Why are they in shorts and a crew neck on this podcast? If this is work, you need to dress like it's work and dress professional.
Yeah. So what he's referring to here is the Senate recently changed their rules so that John Fetterman doesn't have to show up in a suit and tie because bro doesn't wear a suit and tie. He wears shorts, he wears button-up shirts, he wears hoodies, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And so many people are mad that bro doesn't have to wear a suit and tie
just fucking
to work.
Whining in the swamp
about
it. Like, it's ridiculous.
They're mad that he is like violating the sanctity of the Senate. Like the same place where Glitch McConnell works is sacred. What are we talking about?
The same place where impeachment is thrown out anytime anything happens. Mm-hmm. This is so sacred. The same place where Marjorie Taylor Greene showed cock.
Congress, yeah.
Just threw up Hunter Biden's cock, did revenge porn, made everybody look at it. Everyone who's in there, everyone watching C-SPAN. God.
It's so stupid because they keep arguing that, you know, these sacred halls that our Congress are being violated by not showing up to work in a black suit and tie. It's like, who fucking cares?
I'm saying.
It literally does. It doesn't change if he can vote on things. It doesn't change if he actually gets work done. This is the end state of what the culture war is. It is totally detached from reality, detached from any material critique of how our economy or political system functions, and focuses solely on imagery and how things make you feel. It is so beyond stupid that people actually care.
It's purely a fucking aesthetic argument. And I just think it's funny that, like, Ted Cruz has also been doing this for years. And I did not give a shit. Ted Cruz will show up to cut votes in, like, basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
Who fucking cares, bro? I literally don't give a shit. Just pass good laws.
Well, you can't even argue that a place is sacred if Ted Cruz is there.
I'm saying.
He worked there. Him, Glitch McConnell, and a bunch of other senators that are demons in human skin work there. And you're going to call it sacred. Come
Corny.
On now.
Me when I'm fucking from Cornball Incorporated.
It's actually so fucking stupid. I swear, the demon of Babylon disguises himself in the coat of the righteous. Like, and the thing that gets me is that regular people wear hoodies and shorts and, you know, loose button-up shirts.
Yeah.
Just like Fetterman does. And I think, in a way, Republicans feel threatened by Fetterman because he does look like a regular average American dude.
He looks like their constituents.
Right, exactly. And I think that's why they're threatened by him. But it's like, it just doesn't matter. But Fetterman did have a kind of a good response to this.
Okay.
He tweeted out, he said, quote, "I figure if I take up vaping and grabbing the hog during a live musical, they'll make me a folk hero." That's a good response.
That is a good one. That is a good one. I like. She's catching crazy strays all week. Everyone's just bringing that up. Rightfully so. She's that, like, was a crazy incident.
She's like, why am I just being brought up? This is about you.
That's a good deflect.
Getting angry about Fetterman wearing shorts is crazy.
It's crazy because, like, now I feel represented because that's what I wear to work. Mm-hmm. Minus shorts because I can't wear shorts, but I'd be pulling up to work in hoodies.
Well, and throwback to when Tucker Carlson had that bit when he was still employed. that was like, no average American, nobody wears hoodies to work and actually gets things done. It's like construction workers all wear hoodies to work.
Every time you drive down the highway. Oh, wait, you don't drive. You have someone drive you places. I don't expect you to be in touch. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy thing for people to be mad about. I feel like this is just one of those. It's like tan suit Obama, right? Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that don't fucking matter that people are mad about. It's this self-important, pretentious bullshit that functions only to maintain the image that DC is some serious place that we need to respect. Mm-hmm. Like, no, obviously not. And people can wear whatever they want.
And it's like, it's not like everyone's just going to step out in hoodies and shorts now. You know, people are still going to maintain professional appearances depending on where the fuck they live, what their constituents are like, what they want to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's not like Congress is just going to be fucking overflowed with oversized t-shirts, although it'd probably be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this image of Rand Paul, like, doing its rounds on conservative Twitter, because we live there.
Mm-hmm.
If you see our Twitter, go ahead and follow. Yeah. And it's a picture AI generated of Rand Paul in like a bathrobe with the dogs out, and like, this is how Rand Paul showed up to the Senate, and it's supposed to be satirical, but I thought it was real, and my reaction was, okay,
yeah,
cool, this would be the only cool thing Rand Paul has ever done.
Well, and some Republican senator, I think, she responded and she was like, oh, then I'm going to show up to the Senate in a bikini.
Go for
it. Like, all right, we're going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do it on the basis of, oh, this is like improper attire for the Senate. We're going to say that because you look fucking stupid.
I'm not
going to
make a moral judgment on you for it.
Uh-huh,
like, I'm just going to look at it and be like, you're making a clown of yourself.
Also, the... Have you seen the John Fetterman is like a clone discourse?
Yeah, I saw he made t-shirts. I saw he makes t-shirts about it now.
Republicans will take an image of John Fetterman from one angle and then another image from an entirely different angle and be like, it's clearly two different people. They replaced him. Or it'll be like one image of him like with his arms spread. You can see his tattoos.
Yeah.
And then another image where his arms are faced the other way where you can't see his tattoos. And they're like, where the tattoos go?
They just don't know how
it must
work.
Be a clone. And I see these from like prominent conservative Twitter accounts boosting that kind of shit. Like Elon Musk will boost that kind of shit.
Hey, man, to be fair, I don't expect any sort of integrity from a prominent conservative Twitter account.
Well, of course not. But it's just crazy. Like, again, this goes back to our whole our commentary on if the Democrats could actually steal an election. If the DNC could get away with cloning somebody
mm-hmm.
and replacing them to keep their majority in the Senate, that shows some initiative we never see out of politicians.
Go for it.
Yeah, like that. They deserve power at that point.
I'm behind that move.
They discovered how to clone people.
Yeah.
And then they orchestrated a successful operation to get him into the Senate while the actual guy that got elected is, what, either dead or somewhere else and nobody found out about it? Like, that's...
Good for them.
Give it to him.
Good for them.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. The one other topic, though, is a Tim Pool tweet that I thought I would read.
Of course.
So Tim Pool tweeted out, he said, this is why they defund the police. They need as many cops as possible to quit so there's no revolt over robot cops. And you can see here
is RoboCop?
It's Eric Adams with like an NYPD police bot. It's got like a camera on it or something. And the thing that gets me immediately is, first of all, you look at NYPD and you think, ah, yes, a police force that's been defunded.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
A police force that's not bigger than, like, I don't know, that's not, like, the seventh biggest army on the planet.
Right. And the other thing is, like, if they defunded the police, how'd they buy the robot?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Dumbass. And also, it just looks like one of those robots that, like, patrols upscale grocery stores and looks to see if people are shoplifting. What the fuck is that gonna do?
What do you think Defund the Police was attempting to accomplish? You think they were trying to get rid of cops to have a greater police presence in communities?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, especially when you consider, one, the United States has not defunded police departments in any capacity, and two, the U.S. spends more on police departments than every country except for China spends on their military.
Yeah.
We spend like $100 billion on the police every single year. Police forces have been defunded, certainly not NYPD, the 33rd largest military on the planet.
If the NYPD could develop a real life Ed 209 from fucking RoboCop, they would in an instant, and they would stick it on anybody who would caught with a dime bag.
If you hopped over that subway gate that you have to pay for, you would be dead.
If the NYPD had their way, there'd be fucking turrets right there.
Like, what are we talking about? It's just so absolutely stupid. And I know if anyone actually called him on this, he would just retreat and say like, oh, well, obviously it's a joke. But they post these things with the assumption that people are going to see this and be like, oh, yeah, the left is trying to establish a totalitarian government with defund the police. Like, it's in the name.
They're trying to replace us with robots, the cops.
Yeah, I feel like he's just confusing the messaging here.
I think so.
Yeah.
Tim Pool, notoriously not that great at kind of believing in things.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. Anyway, that's rant hour over.
Yes. Completed. Time for serious news, because this is a serious news show that we cover.
That's right. Get us in there.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Serious News Hour from the Serious News Podcast, Head in the Office, with its very serious commentators, us, Jeremy and Gage.
I'm glad you established that at the offset, because I was going to say that exact same thing.
Thank you.
Because we're serious.
Of course, it's always serious around here.
This episode, we got to talk about the GOP debate that's coming up on Wednesday. If you're listening to this not as a patron,
it's
right
today.
Now. Today.
It's today.
On
you
Wednesday,
better fuck, clear your night.
September 27th, 9 p.m. We'll be live at 8 p.m. Show up. Hang out with us.
Head in the office. YouTube.com/head in the office.
Exactly. We'll be there. You better be there, too. We're going to talk about that today. Do a little election roundup. And then we have Corruption Hour.
Corruption Hour.
We're going to talk about some corruption on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we're a serious podcast.
What, a senator and a SCOTUS judge implicated? I'm sure you can guess which one.
One conservative, one liberal. We are hitting it from both sides.
We are bipartisan. What is it? The fucking fair airplay doctrine or some shit? That shit's back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm Yeah.
And we'll end the episode with some coverage of the UAW. As we've been doing the past few weeks. But before we get into the episode, I will remind you all, if you want early access to episodes, go over to patreon.com/headintheofficepod.
You know you want to.
You can support the show. You can keep the lights on in the studio, these beautiful lights that I soak in every single week.
That's right. I bask and I bathe in the light, the radiant light from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
You can also get some mugshot merch. I saw a ton of people asking us in the comments, like, hey, yo, where can I get one of those Trump indictment era shirt or the Rudy Giuliani shirt? Headintheofficepod.com. Merch shop. Get yourself one. Get a fit for school, you know?
Back to school fit.
You can also check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, the Upwire, Discord. It's all in the description. And if you want to support the show,
come on,
leave us an Apple review.
Come on.
Five stars on Apple.
Just like these beautiful people did. So the first one we have, Let the Proletariat Rise by HGG. Wednesday weenies rise up against the bourgeois Sunday supremacy. On a real note, I love these guys and how they keep me informed on modern issues. I listen to them daily, and every time after I listen, I feel more hopeful that there are more sane people out there. Support them in any way you can, folks. I agree.
Well, see, the bourgeois Sunday supremacists are hard workers. They deliver a lot of value to the pod.
Yeah.
And they're instrumental in the production process. The Wednesday weenies, you can just go get another job.
Exactly. Well, now, our shareholders provide a lot of value to
this
company.
And they take a risk.
They take a risk by investing in us. Come on now. Associating themselves with us is a risk.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
Our second and final Apple review here is by Sly Coopy, Simply So Gas. They say, found Hitto through TikTok and have not stopped listening since. You guys are truly a breath of fresh air from other political podcasts as you guys bring a younger and funnier take on politics and our dumpster fire of a country. I'm a Wednesday weenie right now, but we'll be upgrading to a Sunday supremacist soon. Keep up the great work, boys.
And we intend to. We intend to keep up the great, serious work as we get into this GOP debate pre-show coverage.
Exactly. As stated last week, the second GOP debate will be this Wednesday, September 27th,
today,
at 9 p.m. Eastern time in California. We'll be live, of course, so you better check us out on YouTube. We'll be there covering it. This one, again, hosted by Fox News, and they confirmed some participants already.
Okay.
And I have a list here by Axios. The participants that will be at the debate are Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, and Chris Christie. Of course, Donald Trump did qualify, but he's not going to be there because he's holding a rally in Michigan at the same time, allegedly with current and former auto workers that were a part of the UAW or currently are, whatever.
Kind of wild holding a rally instead of just, I don't know, supporting the UAW, the striking workers.
Yeah, especially because we know he does not support the UAW or strikers over business interests. He's just doing this because he thinks it'll make him look
wild good. Making it about you.
Yeah, yeah. And to qualify, quote, participants in the debate needed to show that they have at least 50,000 unique donors, including at least 200 donors each from 20 states or territories. They also needed to earn at least 3% in two national polls conducted after August 1st. All of this to say, Doug Burgum and Asa Hutchinson are not going to be on the debate stage.
Oh.
Now, they have until 48 hours before the debate to qualify. So they could technically make it if they scrape it together by Monday, but
they got till tomorrow.
It seems like they're not going to be able to do that.
I wish there was a way we could track it. I wish we could see that dono number tick up, you know, like a Kickstarter.
Yeah. The RNC chair said they got until Monday, 48 hours before. So what, Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah.
So we'll see, but I'm doubtful.
Bust up a GoFundMe to get Asa Hutchinson and Doug Burgum up there. We could have done that. We should have got on it.
Yeah, we should have made that happen.
We should have got on it.
Fuck. I'm very excited to see if DeSantis even tries to make his presence known. Maybe Chris Christie will do something, land a solid blow. Maybe Vivek will rip directly off of Obama again.
Maybe the Virgin allegations will come out against Tim Scott.
Oh, we need it.
I need it. Please, I need him to get up there and confirm.
No hate towards him.
I'm not judging, but hey, bro, you should be secure with who you are.
You should be secure with who you are, and the American people deserve to know.
I can't believe somebody asked him that. That's fucking crazy.
That's so sick. To ask that question to his face, like, so, are the abstinence allegations true?
As a senator, like, that's nuts. I am also surprised that he was able to make it up there still, though.
I fuck with it heavy, though.
I fuck with him.
I fuck with him.
I enjoy him just kind of being around.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we get another soundbite from him that's another standout of the debate. Like last time, if I may refresh your memory, we need to break the backs of the teachers' unions.
Yeah, and his delivery was great on that answer specifically. And I saw he was also interviewed recently where he said, someone asked him about the UAW strike.
Yeah.
And what he basically said was, we should take a note from Ronald Reagan and fire all the people that are striking right now because they're not working. Because Reagan, of course, fired federal workers when they striked against him back in the 80s. And Tim Scott said, yeah, fire all the UAW workers, which is an insanely unpopular position.
That's crazy, Tim.
But he thinks that'll appeal to people, apparently.
Holy shit.
So don't only break the backs of the teachers union, but break the backs of all workers. Yeah.
Virgin Tim Scott hates UAW. I can see it now.
That's a headline. So you may have noticed that we said Trump will be in Detroit, Michigan with the UAW workers at the time of the second debate. And I think we should get into that really quickly because there's some optics to talk about around that.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So Trump's idea here, obviously, is to appeal to working class people by appearing on the side of the strikers. Obviously, the strikers and UAW have a large amount of public support. So any politician siding with them will, at least in theory, gain some political points, right? Mm-hmm. The issue here, though, is that Trump simply couldn't help himself. And on Truth Social, he posted this, quote, he said, "Crooked Joe Biden had no intention of going to visit the United Auto Workers until I announced that I would be heading to Michigan to be with them and help them out. Actually, Crooked Joe sold them down the river with this ridiculous electric car hoax."
Okay.
This wasn't Biden's idea. He can't put two sentences together. It was the idea of the radical left fascists, Marxists, and communists who control him and who, in so doing, are destroying our country.
Wow, what a way to just get everything wrong about what's happening right now.
Yeah.
What a way to completely miss the mark on, I don't know, every fact you could have there.
Yeah.
One, it's the automakers who are using the transition to electric vehicles as a means to get them to stop striking, saying mm-hmm. it's going to hurt that transition. So if you're positioning yourself against that transition, you should be with the workers here.
But I
know Trump isn't.
Right.
One, because he's making this rally just about himself. Like, he's not going to help out the UAW in Michigan. Mm-hmm. He's not going to join the picket line. He's not going to advocate against the Big Three. He's going to have them come and praise him.
Yeah, and can you ever name a time when Trump has actually pushed back against business interests?
Yeah.
Like, whenever in his life has he ever done that? His whole presidency was about protecting business interests with tax cuts and stuff
like
that.
He is a business interest.
Exactly. Like, yeah, no, it's crazy, especially because, like, as you said, the strike is about lost pensions, lost pay, given inflation, executive compensation being up 40%. They're not striking because electric vehicles.
Uh-uh.
Trump is just kind of injecting that here because yeah, it's associated with liberals, I guess. And Trump also can't say that the Big Three automakers are corrupt and screwing over workers, obviously, because if he does that, then the business interests will get angry at him. But he also can't side with them because if he does, then he loses a ton of credibility with UAW workers and workers broadly that support the strike. So he's got to make up some random shit like EVs are causing the problem and Biden.
Biden. So. Biden and EVs. What a great word salad to throw out there and just hope that your constituents latch onto it.
Yeah. And also the UAW president, Sean Fain, had come out and say, like, they didn't want Trump on the picket line or to visit or anything because they're spending their time right now fighting against the billionaire class. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he responded to that in any way or if he has like anything to say about that, but they did not invite him by any means.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you can see that he's angry. Biden is joining the picket line, which is exactly what I wanted to bring up here because Biden's team announced that he's going to be picketing with the UAW on Tuesday, a day before this episode airs, which is sick for two reasons. One, he's going to be out there and that's what we wanted. We called it two episodes ago.
Always.
And two, it undercuts Trump directly, which I think is great.
That is sick.
Biden's there one day before Trump, and he gets the news coverage one day before Trump.
And it is fucking cool that it's just one day before Trump. It's not Monday. It's the day before.
Yeah.
That's gas.
It's kind of cool.
It is cool. And yeah. It's nice because I don't think any president has ever stepped out on the picket line before.
Maybe not. Yeah.
I had seen a couple of headlines saying that he's the first president to jump out on the picket line. Maybe the first with UAW. I don't know if it's ever happened before, but usually usually bombs are dropped on picketers historically. So.
Yeah. We've had more bombs dropped than presidents joined on the picket line. You know what I mean? Battle of Blair Mountain type shit. Airstrike on U.S. citizens.
We've had more fucking battles against this shit than presidents to step out in support of labor like they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Biden's joining the picket line. That's really good news, and we'll score him some points. And some people have been worried on like the more liberal media side that Biden doing this just looks like a response to Trump. But I think most people that'll end up hearing about all this won't know about like the announcement schedule And they'll just see Biden went first and then Trump went. And maybe they'll think like, oh, Trump's responding to Biden here.
I don't know. Like,
it doesn't matter, I don't
think.
Who's
fucking worried about that? CNBC?
Like, yeah.
The CNBC, the people who are out there siding with the automakers anyway.
Yeah.
The people who don't want their stock prices to go down because who else watches CNBC?
It's the same like Democratic strategists that are like, oh, Fetterman should wear a suit to respect the sanctity of the Senate.
Fake
you know,
job.
It's those people.
Fake job.
Yeah. No, it's just the complaining job. We're the real complainers.
That's right.
Start from the bottom.
This is the real complaining job. They have the fake complaining job.
So anyways, that summarizes what we're going to see at the upcoming debate and some election news that we had this week. Remember, we'll be live. And we had a lot of fun last time, you know what I'm saying?
Every single person who came out had a lot of fun, especially all 800 concurrent viewers at one time.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we can top it.
Let's get to 1,000. Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Like, you guys want to see the debate. We want them to watch the debate. You want commentary. We want to give commentary.
Don't you want me to be happy?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want us to be happy?
This is one area where the free market is delivering goods to the people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to capitalize on that because we're capitalists.
I'm trying so hard.
I'm a capitalist.
I'm a capitalist. I'm trying so hard to feed this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I need you to come out there.
And like, okay, so, you know, there's going to be other larger streamers that are live streaming the debate at the same time
funny.
We are. But capitalism isn't capitalism without competition, as my favorite President Joe Biden says.
Yep.
So help us with the competition.
Come on.
Otherwise, it's communism, socialism.
You want crony capitalism going
exactly.
on? Crony capitalism is when you go watch Hassan's coverage.
Yeah.
This is fair
support
good
small
competition
businesses.
Is when you come to our stream instead.
Support small businesses. Otherwise, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, personally, I'll be upset a little bit. Maybe I'll tune in for a second to see what's going on. I'm crying.
Yeah, I'm sobbing at the desk. Anyway, join us for the debate on YouTube, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 9:27.
Exactly, and I think it's time now for us to get into a little bit of a corruption hour.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it's a little sus.
Making use of the soundboard, we spent hundreds of dollars on this thing. We got to make use of it at some point.
I had to.
Yeah. So as Gage just said, we got to talk a little bit about corruption. And switching gears ever so slightly, we've talked about the Senate a little bit, politics already, of course. I want to talk about, in the spirit of bipartisanship, a Democrat being bad.
Yeah.
We just praised Joe Biden a little bit for going out on the picket line. We talked about our favorite demons being at a debate, but I want to talk about a Democrat demon.
Yeah.
So
a demon rat.
There you go. One of the biggest pieces of news last week was that Democratic Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey was federally invited for accepting bribes from New Jersey business people and apparently from the Egyptian government as well.
That's crazy.
Now, per NBC quote, the charges include conspiracy to commit bribery, conspiracy to commit honest services fraud, and conspiracy to commit extortion under the color of official right. And the DOJ alleges that he and his wife were bribed with cash, gold bars, payments towards a home mortgage, compensation for a low or no-show job, and a luxury vehicle and other items of value.
Gold bars is absolutely insane.
I mean, it's comically corrupt.
Who is pulling up with a suitcase of gold bars just to give this dude? That is fucking wicked.
Well, and there's images you can find if you just look up Bob Menendez corruption or DOJ case or whatever. Like, there's just, it's just gold bars.
And it's also like, I'm never going to be a part of this world, right? Like, I've already cemented myself as clearly never going to be a part of this, like, these politics, this
won't
like,
ever be accepted.
Upper class rich shit, you know what I mean? And it's the same for this and the Michael Flynn stuff, where Michael Flynn was acting as, like, a lobbyist on Turkey's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck does the Egyptian government just contact you and you just start accepting bribes from them? Does that just go to your email?
Well, I don't know exactly how this happened, but what it seems like happened is that I'm not sure who contacted who first, but in terms of the Egyptian government, there's allegations that Bob Menendez ghost wrote a request to release however many hundreds of millions of dollars were being held up in aid to Egypt.
Yeah.
And obviously this is a form of bribery. And in return, they gave him something. Maybe it was the gold bars. Maybe it was the Mercedes-Benz worth $60,000 that the DOJ found.
Golly.
Maybe it was, you know, any of the other things that they found on Bob Menendez and in his homes. But yeah, the allegation here is that he was giving political favors to wealthy interests that were giving him money, which is just bribery, right? It's
what
corruption.
What the fuck, bruh?
Yeah, yeah. And according to the indictment, the DOJ found, quote, more than $480,000 in cash.
In cash?
Much of it stuffed into envelopes and hidden in clothing, closets, and a safe, including jackets bearing the senator's name that were hanging in a closet, as well as more than $70,000 in Nadine Menendez's, that's his wife, in her safe deposit box.
You're telling me this dude had just jackets hanging up with his name straight up on him with
Senator
pockets
Menendez.
Full of money?
Yes.
Overflowing pockets full of money in the jacket with his name on it?
It's comically corrupt.
What the fuck, yeah. bruh? Envelopes of cash just in your home?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? What do you do with that?
The indictment has a lot more listed as well, but generally what it seems like is that Menendez was potentially receiving millions of dollars for years from various people, again, New Jersey businessmen and apparently the Egyptian government in return for political favors. Again, it's comical levels of corruption, gold bars, money literally flowing out of the pockets of the shirt that you got, or the jacket that you got from the Senate.
The fuck?
It's a Senator Menendez on it. And yeah, he got caught doing it by the DOJ. So I guess all those calls to abolish the FBI weren't.
That's what we got to do for the next Hiddo photo shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just money out, flowing out of it.
Now, I want to start at level one for our critique for this, right? Because
okay.
there's a lot of nuance we got to put into this to effectively make the point that I want to make. Should you be mad at this guy for what he's done? Yes, of course. Like, mm-hmm. At least for right now, before a court case happens, it seems like he did something wrong and he should face the full extent of the law as any person would if they committed bribery or acts of bribery or were accepting bribes for political favors, right?
Yeah.
He should face the full extent of the law. My problem comes in when I see Republicans using this as a dunk to say, like, look how corrupt Democrats are, while at the same time running defense for someone like Donald Trump, who has several indictments for several acts of corruption, not just related to his attempt to try to overthrow the government, right? Like, it's crazy how Republicans can juggle the DOJ is corrupt and we should abolish the FBI to protect Trump, and corrupt Democrat Bob Menendez is under charges and that's bad and justified.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get how they can hold both positions at one time. And this reveals to me that because they're so inconsistent, they don't actually care about eliminating corruption.
No.
They just want to be the only ones that are corrupt and can benefit from it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's where my take lies for all of this, ultimately.
Especially when you consider the people who are actually in power. When it comes to, like, I don't know, regular conservatives on the ground, they just have cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. They just think that the swamp is generally, genuinely just Democrats.
Yeah.
They think that conservatives can do no wrong, and whenever they do no wrong, they're being persecuted. Because they can't accept otherwise, or else they'd have to fall back on so many other things that they've built up their identity on that it just, they'd implode.
Right, and it's especially obvious to me that there's an asymmetry in response here, because Democrats aren't coalescing around protecting Bob Menendez.
Yeah.
A lot of Democrats have come out against him and said he should resign.
John Fetterman was the first one to come out. Fucking sweatshirt and
yeah.
shorts, John Fetterman
John
was the
Fetterman
first to get
said
out there
he
and
should.
Say.
Democratic governor of New Jersey said he should resign. A couple of House members from mm-hmm. the New Jersey delegation said he should resign. People in the state legislature of New Jersey that are Democrats said he should resign. And this isn't a thing we see happen for Republicans, especially not for Donald Trump. Or if you want a smaller example, George Santos, someone who blatantly has lied, has obviously engaged in vast amount of corruptions at a smaller level than Donald Trump, but still nobody's coming out against him and saying he should resign. Or you could look at Matt Gaetz or Ken Paxton or any of the other demons in the Republican Party. It's obvious that both parties do not deal with corruption within their own party to the same degree. And obviously this is a case of corruption and he is a Democrat and he should face punishment. But I hate how inconsistent everyone is on this.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. Ken Paxton specifically, he was voted overwhelmingly in the Texas House to mm-hmm. be impeached. The Senate, obviously fucking corrupt, said, no, we can't let our guy go. He's like, he is a figurehead in conservative, like, politics, especially here in Texas.
Yeah.
And so instead of just leaving it at, no, we're not going to remove him, he can be impeached, we won't remove him, I think they're going after the Speaker of the House who brought the impeachment forward.
That's crazy.
Nuts. Just straight up retaliation for trying to root out genuine corruption. Because may I remind you, Ken Paxton is under federal indictments for crimes.
Uh-huh.
Genuine crimes. Before all this indictment political persecution talk was going on, he has been under indictment for actual fucking crimes. Crazy ones.
Yeah, no, because I remember when we covered that, we were like, oh, he's fucked because he had, like, what, 80% of his party in his house vote against him, including the Democrats in the Texas House. And then he was acquitted by the Senate, and Republicans celebrated. Like, we have obvious levels of corruption within the Republican Party and clearly in the Democratic Party with Bob Menendez. And the only people that are consistent are people like us who are constantly calling out this kind of corruption every time we see it.
Yeah.
It's like Republicans just aren't capable of it. They
and
don't do it.
Conservatives can't even handle that Democrats aren't defending this guy. I saw on r/conservative cesspool. I have to preface an absolute cesspool. Someone posted the meme of, like, the it's kind of like the soy jack with the crying face, but he had the smiley face mask over it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, Democrats, when they're saying that Bob Menendez should resign. It's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Why would they be mad at it? The thing that they would be mad at is that why is a guy being corrupt in the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we might lose a number, maybe, but most likely not.
Well, they wouldn't, because the New Jersey governor would appoint a temporary senator until an election is held. And that's a Democratic state. So it would just be another Democrat.
Yeah.
There is no reason they wouldn't call him out. And a bunch of people have called him out and said, like, hey, yeah, dog, this is bad.
Like, you're
fucked. You should resign because you're under indictment. It's, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. And to be clear, I think most politicians probably accept bribes like Menendez does.
Oh, all of them do.
Like,
yeah.
Democrats and Republicans. I don't think this is a one-off scenario. Others are likely a lot more subtle about it than he is. I mean, gold bars and money falling out of your pockets is quite egregious. I bet most of them don't do it the way he did, but I'm sure a lot of them do it. And a lot of this happens because elite actors like the wealthy in our country and the wealthy of other countries can leverage their wealth for beneficial outcomes in politics,
yeah,
and deliver themselves political power in that way. And while there isn't, like, of course, unanimous support in the Democratic Party for regulations that would take money out of politics, there are a lot more Democrats that are willing to do that than Republicans. And that's all besides the point that our system is set up to encourage corruption.
Yeah.
And the only people that are going to be trustworthy when it comes to this sort of things are those that constantly push back against business interests. And it's people that share our ideology or are close to it. People like Bernie Sanders, people like AOC, certainly nobody on the right side of the political spectrum.
And it's like, case in point, why is the guy who did the bribery and corruption responsible for holding himself accountable?
Yeah.
Why is there no system to just recall this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Why is it that, like, if you, I guess it wouldn't make sense to get indicted and immediately kicked out, like, if some, like, rogue prosecutor just indicts you for no reason. But, yeah, there's no, like, mechanism for accountability here outside of him just saying, like, yeah, I'll step down.
Yeah, I don't know. As soon as the raid happens and you find, I don't know, $500,000 in cash, money out of your
gold
pockets,
bars.
Gold bars, I think that's damning enough that you should just be kicked out.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to come forward yourself and resign.
Yeah, yeah. And, look, the final thing I want to share is that a lot of politicians are obviously corrupt, right? Again, our system is designed to produce corruption, but I don't want anybody to walk away from this episode thinking that all politicians are equally corrupt, because it's clearly not the case. Some people are better, and again, those are the ones that are constantly advocating and fiercely opposing large business interests and money in politics, people like the oil lobby, people like foreign governments paying senators to, you know, release aid that's being held up.
Yeah.
Those are the people that you should trust when it comes to wealth and politics, not people that are obviously using insider information for beneficial stock options, like Nancy Pelosi, for example, or any of the other Republicans that do it, like Dan Crenshaw. He's also somebody that has an enormous amount of money held up in stocks, who obviously publicly trades with secret information. So it's obviously not equal. Republicans do it a lot worse than Democrats. But yeah, Bob Menendez should he should resign. He should lose his position. And if the allegations are true, he should go to jail.
It's pretty damning.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
It's pretty speaking like a lawyer here, you know.
Yeah.
Guilty until innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
It's rough for this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we're to move on and we're to talk about someone who's not involved in political office and not involved in anything with politics at all, of course, by nature of their position, they're entirely apolitical, entirely independent, impartial, dare I say, if that's a key word. We're going to move on to Clarence Thomas being corrupt.
Yeah, he's totally apolitical.
Apolitical. He's
removed
never
from politics.
Never held political office, entirely separate from the system.
Here's the Venn diagram, right? We got politics and the Supreme Court, completely separate bubbles.
I'd even take
bubbles.
Supreme Court way over here.
Uh-huh. They're not even close.
Not even close. They couldn't even touch. They
not even in the same orbit.
Social distancing.
Yeah, they're completely different concepts.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So it just breaks my heart to see allegations that one of these justices of this, may I remind you, sacred institution is facing allegations of corruption yet again.
I can't believe it, really.
And that's right, folks. Last
I don't believe it.
I don't. But we're going to have to detail these entirely false and untrue allegations. And if they're not untrue, allegations that totally mean nothing and don't have impacts on, I don't know, huge cases coming to the next Supreme Court term.
Mm-hmm.
And so, folks, last week, it looks like a new update in the fraudulent Clarence Thomas corruption saga came out. And this time we are learning from ProPublica, a fake organization notorious for...
funded by George Soros.
Yeah, basically. From ProPublica that the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, that need I remind you is one of the most powerful positions in the country, has been at least two Koch Foundation donor summits, one in 2008 and one in 2018. Now, let me remind you, federal judges are barred disallowed. They cannot do it. They cannot participate in any form of fundraising and political activity. They are also advised to not associate themselves with, quote, any group publicly identified with controversial legal, social, or political positions. Supreme Court justices, on the other hand, are for some reason allowed to figure out what is appropriate for themselves.
Yeah, a totally arbitrary line that we've drawn, by the way, simply because we do not want to regulate the behavior of Supreme Court justices for what? No reason other than we want to allow them to make corrupt decisions, be corrupted.
As you gain more power, you face less oversight. Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Please, somebody make it make sense to me, because I just do not get it. Maybe I'm a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm a dumbass.
Well, if we had the Senate and the House have some kind of oversight over them, then Marjorie Taylor Greene could determine the oversight. And then who knows what could happen? They could overturn abortion rights.
Yeah.
They could take your Miranda rights away. They could do anything.
They could tell you that cops aren't legally required to assist you when something bad is happening.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that most people are on the side of oversight, but I still see people that go out to bat and they're like, no, Supreme Court should not be overseen by anybody.
Glazing.
We shouldn't balance the political power whatsoever. They're removed from politics.
Doing fucking crazy backflips on it. I swear to God, that is utterly ridiculous.
Clarence Thomas, one of the smartest legal minds in the country, obviously. The
greatest mind of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say ours. Mm-hmm. Can't say ours, but one of his generation.
Brett Kavanaugh, too. Very smart guy. He likes beers.
He just likes beer. I like
to drink a couple beers.
But anyway, Thomas's 2018 trip was, of course, not disclosed on his annual financial disclosure forms, which you have to do when you're receiving gifts from, I think, anyone that's not family.
Yeah.
Like, gifts of any substantial financial backing, you have to disclose. And the details surrounding this one are that one of his billionaire friends that we've covered before had him chartered on his private jet to the summit.
Oh, sick.
Like, he wasn't paid to be at the summit, because that would just be a more blatant violation of the ethics rules he's already violating.
Mm-hmm.
But he was chartered on the private jet and given a free vacation.
Oh, they just covered all expenses.
Yeah, it was just an all expenses paid thing. Like, he wasn't paid for it, you know what I mean?
Guys,
I don't understand what the big deal is that he was at a event for huge Republican, top Republican donors. We gave them access to him, but he didn't, like, directly fundraise.
No, of course not.
He only had access to people. We, as an organization who was fundraising, only gave the people who give us money access to meet with this guy who they maybe have cases coming forward to.
Well, and surely that wouldn't influence his decision making at all if he's getting an all expenses paid trip somewhere.
Jesus Christ. A good time with a bunch of people. Surely you can go be friends with someone and then still turn around and, you know, deliver a harsh bit of tough love when you're one of the most powerful people in the country. Surely you can.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any oversight here. Everything's perfect.
That's what I'm saying. But also, the 2008 trip wasn't even disclosed. It was disguised as him just stopping by. He just stopped by the Koch brothers fundraising annual summit that you have to spend $100,000 to be invited to.
And who among us wouldn't? You know what I mean?
That's
who among
us hasn't? I hear they party like crazy.
Yeah,
unironically.
Anytime they have a Federalist event, I'm always there.
Exactly. Yeah,
just stopping by.
Well, that's what he said. He said, I was just speaking at a nearby Federalist Society event. I'm sure these two things weren't planned, to be close to each other so that this could happen or anything. And I just, you know, took a little drive over, took a little stroll, ended up there. Whoa, what's going on, Mr. David Koch?
How did I get here?
I'm going to have to sit there and party. Ridiculous. But this is obviously concerning for multiple reasons. The first being, obviously, who the Koch brothers are and what their foundation does. And the next being an upcoming SCOTUS case next term, which has pretty dire consequences if it goes the wrong way.
Okay.
I'll get into it in a little bit, though. But if you don't know who the Koch brothers are, the quick and dirty of it, I would say that the Koch brothers are to libertarianism and the conservative movement what conservatives think George Soros is.
Yeah.
Minus all the anti-Semitism. The Koch brothers and their foundation, they run a complex interweaving string of nonprofits with the goal of pushing conservative libertarian ideas. They are credited with starting the Tea Party movement during Obama's presidency, the movement that like predated Trump, the crazy bitches.
Yeah.
The crazy ones that start, really, the people responsible for where American politics is today, they did that. One of their arms of their operations, the Americans for Prosperity Action, spent over $65 million supporting conservatives in the last election. Mm. That's election-winning amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
To be distributed in the midterms. That's fucking crazy.
Well, the average for a Senate win, at least, pre-2020, was $10 million.
Yeah.
$10 fucking million. Nuts. Yeah, like that is election winning.
And that's just from one arm of the Koch brothers foundation. Mm-hmm. Just one. Discounting all other fundraising things. And they also have a network of lawyers that routinely attempts to push forth conservative arguments within the legal system. In 2021, Koch-affiliated lawyers were successfully able to win their Supreme Court case where they defended nonprofits' rights to keep their donors secret. Clarence Thomas sided with the 6-3 conservative majority.
Why am I not surprised?
I'm sure we could have guessed that. Bro has been on the wrong side of every decision, mm-hmm. I guess, since his fucking tenure.
And see, I would make a joke here like, oh, bro gets paid to make bad decisions, but he does. It's not even a joke. It's real.
He does. He gets it is, flown on private is, jets all over the place.
It's beyond parody.
Dare I say, but circling back to the case coming to the court next term, Looper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, I hope I said both of those right. This is a case where Koch network attorneys are trying to overturn one of the most cited Supreme Court cases ever, Chevron versus NDRC. You know what that is?
I don't, actually.
Well, let me tell you. Okay. Per ProPublica, quote, Chevron is about government agencies' ability to issue regulations. After a law is enacted, it's generally up to agencies across the government to make detailed rules putting it into effect. Regulations. The Chevron decision said courts should be hesitant to second-guess the agency's determinations. Mm. In the years that followed, judges cited Chevron in upholding rules that protect endangered species, speed up the approval process for new cell phone towers, and grant benefits to coal miners suffering from black lung.
Mm-hmm.
So Chevron is the case that makes it so that the FDA can regulate all of the things it regulates.
Yeah.
The EPA can regulate all of the things that it regulates. And this is why there was a decision last term or two terms ago,
okay,
where the EPA's ability to regulate like a certain aspect of something under the Clean Water Act was overturned. I think that has to do with this too.
I remember that, yeah.
I think this is the big precedent that they kind of overturned outside of just ignoring the law that Congress set, which checks and balances much.
Well, yeah, and it's like obviously you want bureaucrats to some degree to have discretion in designing laws because a lot of the time Congress or even if you go to state legislatures, local city councils, whatever, they will pass laws that aren't explicit in their language.
Because they can't be.
Right, and they'll just like delegate a task to say the EPA mm-hmm. or to the FDA or whatever, you know, whatever three-letter organization that they want to do something for them. And they have to come up with specific policies and operative goals in order to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And if they can't do that, then like, yeah, the federal government can't do anything.
No, you can't function. And that's what the Koch brothers want. Ultimately, they want it so that there's no regulation whatsoever because they're a libertarian demon.
Mm-hmm.
In human skin, barely, might I add.
And remember, like, anytime they talk about libertarianism, they'll hide it behind this facade or they'll masquerade it as, like, the most free system.
Yeah.
But what it means is they want their overwhelming wealth to deliver them as much political power as possible because the government wouldn't be able to protect you against them. Mm-hmm. That's all they want.
And I mean, come on, if the FDA can't regulate, and believe me, they get things wrong sometimes. Like, obviously, every organization gets shit wrong sometimes. But if the FDA cannot regulate food and drugs, is Congress supposed to run every clinical trial? Mm-hmm. Are they supposed to present every piece of clinical trial data to Congress every time they need to ban a drug, anytime they need to do something so Congress can pass a law about that?
Well, that's exactly the point. Is like, you don't want Congress determining how much like CO2 should belong in soil for adequate farming. Like, it'd take way too much time.
And they're not experts.
You're right. You need the experts to do it.
Yeah.
You need people in the agencies to be able to do it. That's what federalism is. It's what our government is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if they can't do that, yeah, it will just allow businesses to get away with whatever they want, and that's the point.
Motherfuckers in these industries have dedicated their lives to these issues, to knowing, to becoming experts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Ted Cruz handling that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I just don't. Yeah. I think it's a better system where experts can expert.
And it's just gonna hurt consumers, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, if we can't have government agencies that aren't affected by the profit motive, or at least not directly, you know how it goes with donations and corruption, of course. But if we can have agencies that are disconnected from the profit motive come in and say, like, no, we need to do this for the benefit, the well-being of the people, then they're just going to do whatever they can to maximize profits. And if it hurts consumers, if it rips off consumers, oh, well. They can't regulate us now because we had Chevron v. whatever it was overthrown.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm David Koch and I'm already worth $63 billion and I need more money because there's some things I can't do with that somehow.
Yeah. It's not even the Koch brothers anymore. It's
the Koch brother. That's right. One of them died in 2019.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But anyway, the Koch have been trying to do this for a while with legal challenges, lobbyists in Congress, and they This is my favorite one. They've given millions of dollars in grants to law professors who just make the case to overturn Chevron. See, they hate this fucking decision.
How can you look at this, the Koch brothers, billionaires, people that have profited immensely off the American working people, how can you look at this, them spending all of their millions, billions of dollars to influence government decisions and think like, yeah, we have a fair and equal democracy.
Yeah.
Freedom is totally being protected. We are totally equal to these guys. My vote counts the same as anything they can do in the political scene. Mm-hmm. Obviously not. It is an oligopoly. It is elitism. Like, we as regular people, regular voters, cannot even come close to matching the power they have to influence government decisions.
So stupid.
It doesn't represent, like, there is no representation. There's no democracy at that point, and subsequently no freedom, no equality at that point. If these guys can influence government actions to this degree, if they can literally purchase one of the most powerful, one of the nine most powerful people in this country. Purchase,
what? That's like 11% of the power in the country.
Yeah.
Like 11% that's just theirs.
Yeah.
And all they got to do is charter him on their private jet,
mm-hmm.
take him along family trips.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I don't know how you can look at that and think we have a free society, mm-hmm. and not one that is just totally designed to dominate regular people.
Yeah.
It's bad, and I don't like it.
Getting back to the man of the corruption hour, Clarence Thomas, aside from us being able to guess where he falls on this issue based on him being on, again, the wrong side of every recent mm-hmm. decision, ProPublica has made the case that it's his relationship with the Kochs through his attendance at their donor events and Bohemian Grove. Do you know what Bohemian Grove is?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of conspiracies around it, but for those that don't know, I think it's in California, right?
Yes, because the Redwoods.
It's basically a meeting where a bunch of like elites in society come uh-huh. together and plan how they're going to divvy up and strip mine the rest of the world.
It is quite literally where a bunch of rich men come to do like crazy shit.
Right. But, and it's just like capitalism doing capitalism, uh-huh. right? Like that's all it is. But a lot of people, because they can't get their ideology to wrap around critiques of capitalism, resort to conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. whether it's like they're summoning a demon or they're all having gay sex or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like that. Like there's a lot of conspiracy wrapped up in it. It's just them deciding how they're going to cut up the planet for themselves.
And doing weird shit on the side.
Well, they do weird stuff because they're billionaires. How else can they derive pleasure from the earth and physical experience other than being fucking weird?
Probably one of the most, I don't know, actually important bits of journalism Alex Jones has ever done is mm-hmm. when he snuck into Bohemian Grove mm-hmm. and he got a video of them like in like robes dancing around an owl statue at night chanting some shit.
And that's a real thing.
Like that happens. That kind of shit goes on at Bohemian Grove. There are no cell phones allowed. There's nothing allowed. He had to get in with a hidden camera. He had to sneak into it. Like it's a crazy thing. It's like this campground. There are 100 different frats and you like are devoted to like a frat within Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. And the one that Thomas goes and visits with his buddy who has to pay thousands of dollars for Thomas to be able to attend every single year for the last 25 years is a notoriously Republican one where they have like lecture series and shit like that. And obviously like weird shit. And it's also an all boys thing, which is wild.
Well, yeah, it's a boys club. Just imagine like the, like a fraternity at a college, but it's like the wealthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what it is.
It's where like rich demons go to do demon stuff.
Right. You know how like frat houses do weird ass shit.
Uh-huh.
But none of it's related to like, I don't know, Democrat summoning a demon or something like that. It's just them being super fucking weird because they are super fucking weird. But then you also have to take into account that these are the wealthiest people on the planet and they're trying to decide how they can destroy everything and keep it all for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that's all it is.
It's a good place. But anyway, Clarence Thomas going there for the last 25 years.
I'm telling you. It's beyond. Good. You can't make it good. Up.
And it's like clearly that had to have swayed his opinion because in 2005, Thomas wrote a majority opinion that expanded the Chevron decision.
Okay.
He used to be very pro Chevron until 2015, in between his Koch donor meeting appearances, where he publicly expressed doubts about the decision. And then in 2020, where he at 2 years after his most recent visit, where he fully rebuked his previous decision, saying that he is not for Chevron anymore. He does not like it. This is the same Clarence Thomas that has a reputation for never switching up ever.
Well, yeah, and you got to think, like, when people say that the Supreme Court is apolitical, it sort of implies that it's a closed system, right?
Yeah.
Like, nothing could get in. Nothing can get in. Obviously, things can get out in the form of decisions. But people can't influence the court from the outside. If that's the case, what accounts for a crazy change of mind like this?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be outside influence.
No, he was just studying the Constitution, man. He just like read that shit more.
Yeah. No, like, come on now. What are we
just,
doing?
He just read that shit more and he's like, oh shit, you know what? They can't, no more bureaucracy.
He didn't have like a sexual awakening at Bohemian Grove. But, and he, in the moment where he's in the world between worlds,
yeah.
He's thinking like, you know what? Agencies shouldn't be able to regulate. Regulators shouldn't be able to regulate.
Exactly. You can't tell me that he's been going to this place where he's surrounded by the most evil fucking conservatives mm-hmm. alive. The richest, most evil fucking conservatives for like 2 weeks or on a long weekend where he just shows up during the retreat and that's not influencing him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that he doesn't get high off the attention he receives when he goes to these donor events just to speak.
Well, yeah.
Just have a speaking role. And you can't tell me he's ignorant to the access that he's providing these people and the increase in the reputation that he's giving the Koch Foundation every time he shows up and they can tout to their donors how Clarence Thomas is here. Because he's got to get a hard on thinking like, oh yeah, these are apolitical positions that I hold. This is just the unadulterated mm-hmm. truth. Mm-hmm. What I come to when I write my dissenting opinions whenever a decision went the right way.
Yeah.
And write my majority opinions whenever something evil happened.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy because, like, if you look back at Clarence Thomas's history as, like, an activist, because he was considered, like, radical in a strange way, not like an anti-capitalist as a kid, but he was like in the you know Thomas Sowell, in the Thomas uh-huh. Sowell tradition, uh-huh. he was kind of radical, and he had beliefs very early on, almost akin to Malcolm X, that like white liberals are not going to be the ones to save us.
Mm-hmm.
But he took a much more cynical bend, I guess, when he went fully conservative and went fully to the right. I don't know, like, what in his ideology pushes him back and forth nowadays, but I don't know. It's a very interesting history you can look up on Clarence Thomas. There's plenty of books about it you could
find. I think the only thing that's really pushing him left and right is the Koch brothers and money that he gets from them. Indirectly, all the lavish vacations that he gets to go on. And it's interesting because this is really the piece that finally connected all the dots between all the different things, because it was a couple months ago where he got exposed for going on going on a bunch of family trips and vacations mm-hmm. with close friend who happens to be a billionaire who gives money to the Kochs. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. And then a couple months prior to that, where like the Ginny Thomas stuff, when there's also something where one of the arms of the Koch Foundation, I think, hired Ginny Thomas's former like something.
Yeah.
It's like there's just unfettered access to, I don't know, 11% of 33% of the government.
No, yeah, and you can't look at all the stuff with Ginny Thomas and be like, this is totally normal.
Yeah, this
with
is cool.
The Citizens United decision specifically, that shit is insane.
Crazy.
She's just getting donations at the same time that he's writing the opinion. Like that, okay, like obviously is unacceptable. It's good though.
And we just, it's so crazy how we just have nothing to do about
this. No, you can't do anything.
And it's crazy because this like, this wouldn't even be a thing if people didn't fucking lie their ass off when talking about the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
This wouldn't be a necessarily, obviously it's corrupt because the what's inherent to the position that he holds as like a justice on the Supreme Court. But if they just came out and said, yeah, this is a political institution, let's do elections, this wouldn't matter nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that people try to gaslight me all the time about, no, the Supreme Court, it's infallible. It's the sacred institution. They don't do politics. Fuck off.
Yeah, no, just like any other political institution or even economic institution, it's all about where power is distributed uh-huh. and how it's centered. And if we have a court of unelected officials that we can't do anything about, that can be purchased by interests that can influence them to a degree that nobody else can, then of course it's going to be corrupted. There's mm-hmm. nothing we can do about it. There's nothing an average person can do to change the outcome of who's on the court. The only kind of power you have over it is who you elect to the Senate and who you elect as your president.
Yeah.
And of course, there's already issues in how democratic elections are given the Electoral College. But even then, there's no guarantee that a president will put up a good candidate.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee that your senators will vote for a good candidate.
There's also no guarantee that even if Clarence Thomas was just taking checks from the Koch in broad daylight, there's no guarantee that the Senate would even do anything to impeach
him. Exactly, right.
Because there are no ethics rules overseeing mm-hmm. the Supreme Court. There's just senators can decide, I don't know, maybe if they want to impeach him, but that doesn't really happen.
Republicans, like, obviously, we have a long list of corruption allegations for now, him and Alito.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans are never going to give up the political power they have on the court now.
No.
Because they've got the court, barring something insane from happening, for decades now, with how young Kavanaugh and Barrett is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no chance that, like, a Democratic president will be able to appoint somebody unless, again, something crazy happens, Biden decides to pack the quarter or something like that.
Yeah.
But maybe, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Maybe, just maybe, one day I can die with a 5-4 majority.
Yeah. Maybe. But even then, it doesn't guarantee that a liberal won't just switch up and be like, yeah, Chevron's gone.
Said, fuck that shit.
Yeah. If it even lasts, right? Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
If it even makes it past next term.
Yeah.
So next, what, spring, when this decision comes out, that'll be a fucking banger. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. But the Kochs, they clearly fucking got to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind that they didn't get to him, especially after all this that I've just laid out. But anyway, if we're to move on a little bit to a UAW strike update, you know we cover labor on here. You know we cover strikes. You know we're about it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about what's going on. So nothing crazy has been happening, but on Friday, September 23rd, UAW expanded its strike to 20 of Stellantis's and 18 of GM's parts distribution centers.
Sick.
This now means that 18,000 workers are currently on strike, up a good bit from what was striking before. Mm-hmm. But notably, you may have noticed if you've got keen ears, if you'd be listening to the show.
If you'd be listening intently, as you should.
You know, if you're a real fan.
If you're taking notes.
Exactly. If you're intently listening.
Get ready for the quiz.
If you're sitting there, hands clasped in your hand, leaning forward, headphones on, just listening to us, no mm-hmm. visual stimulus, nothing.
Yeah.
Just us in your ears. You should notice that Ford was not mentioned there.
Exactly.
And the strike was not expanded within Ford. That's because UAW has noted Ford has been the most receptive of UAW's demands. From the New York Times and according to the union, so far Ford has agreed to adjusting auto workers' pay with inflation, increasing profit sharing, and allowing workers to strike over plant closings, an important issue because a large concern the UAW had was with regard to the switch to electric vehicles and the plant closures that come with that because they don't take as much to manufacture as combustion vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. They can just strike if they're closing a plant. I feel like that's a major concession, too.
Yeah.
Just allowing them to do that is wild. But that same Times article also noted that investors of the Big Three are expecting wage increases of less than 30%.
Oh, my God.
And that's wild when it's kind of just out there that investors are expecting that it's less than 33%. Because this isn't an expectation like an educated guess is like an expectation. This isn't like how I expect Clarence Thomas to make the wrong decision when it comes to things. This is more of when your parents tell you they expect you to do well in your classes.
Yeah, this is investors saying, like, we expect to not raise their wages more than 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We expect our dividends. Like, we expect that you are going to do this for us.
God, it's so crazy.
Because we give you money.
Like, a 30, 40% raise isn't even biting into it that much. You're still going to have millions.
And it sucks the discourse kind of surrounding the 30, 40% wage because I hear people talk, well, I'd want a 40% raise. One, everyone should get a 40% raise. Mm. I don't give a fuck. Cut into the profits of everyone. And two, it sounds like a lot, but it's only 10% every year. This isn't, they just get 40% extra tomorrow as soon as they go back to work. This is every year there's a 10% wage increase, which is not that crazy.
Mm-mm.
It's really not. It's a lot, obviously, but it's not as much as people think.
Well, and it's to catch them up because they haven't been keeping pace with inflation.
Uh-huh.
Which is like a thing all workers should be on board with.
Yeah.
Is your wages at least keeping pace with inflation, even if we don't talk about how much you are producing and how much profit is coming out of your company, at least keeping up with how much you have to pay to survive?
Yeah. At the very least, you should not lose money year over year by producing the same goods that companies are raising the price on, causing you to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make it make sense.
Well, and you just, like, again, a lot of people just struggle to critique capitalism and ever side with workers. But I think that a lot of people will look at strikes right now, whether it's UAW or the actors and writers, et cetera, and say they're being greedy, where it's like you can't get around the fact that these workers are producing tens of billions of dollars for the company mm-hmm. that they just don't really get to take part in. They should not be struggling as their company is doing better than ever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no,
you can't
it's
get
nuts.
Around that.
It's fucking ridiculous. And I know, I remember, I think there was an interview with one of the Big Three CEOs, and they were talking about how, oh my God, these demands are too much. We already do robust profit sharing. Look, over the last 10 years, we've done $71,000 in profit sharing with employees. Like, over 10 years, you've given them $7,000 extra dollars on average every year. Mm-hmm. Their top wage rate's only 32.
Mm-hmm.
And this is fucking manual labor. Like, what do you mean? You make crazy money every uh-huh. fucking quarter. And you're just like, oh, we gave them $7,000 extra dollars. Fuck off, man.
Yeah, and that's beyond the Marxist critique. Like, they should get all of it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly.
Like, because the people at the top, the CEOs, if they're doing some amount of work, you know, coordinating production and stuff like that, sure, they get paid. You're not asking them to do work for nothing. But to the extent that stuff is being produced and value is being made, it's the workers doing that, not the people that just sit on top and have an army of assistants that plan how to keep wages as low as possible.
GM CEO, she's not making $30 million worth of cars every year.
She's not.
And I can tell you that the person on the line who's making the top UAW wage rate of $32 an hour is making way more than $32 an hour worth of cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, every year, they get paid enough to buy two cars.
Yeah.
Two cars outright if they didn't spend any money on anything else. They could buy two fucking cars. They're making way more than that. It doesn't take 365 days to make two cars.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen people saying, like, oh, the strike that's happening at the big three automakers is going to raise car prices. Brother, car prices have been going up already before the strike even began.
They're going to raise them anyway.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, they're going to raise car prices. It's the same way that everybody else is raising car prices under the guise of inflation, which then fuels more inflation, and then they raise their prices because people think inflation is happening.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, do you know why the profit or do you know why the prices are increasing? It's not because workers are taking up too much money in the budget. Their wages haven't kept up with inflation. It's because the companies just want to profit off more of the labor that the workers are putting in and what the consumer can actually pay.
It
is completely detached from what will benefit people materially. It's just because they want to be richer.
Companies profit immensely off the inflation that they themselves artificially fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them so much when conservatives pin it as Bidenflation instead of what it actually is, corporate greed.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and it happens far too often.
Yeah.
Far too often. It's absurd.
And if you want car prices to go down, first of all, I feel like workers being more involved in like every process at every level will probably help that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just generally speaking, if you want people to be able to purchase these cars, they got to be paid enough to actually buy them. And the workers themselves that work at GM, Ford, et cetera, maybe they get discounts. Like, they might be able to get a car from the company that they work at. But a lot of people.
Not all of them.
Well, not all of them, certainly. But a lot of people working in, like, the service industry, working $15 an hour jobs at McDonald's or something, if they're even paying $15,
mm-hmm.
those people are not buying cars anytime soon.
No.
Because you can't.
No.
At least not a new car.
Dude, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
I can't even get
a
to
key,
it.
It's almost like, I wonder if somebody from, like, a couple hundred years ago was like, hey, yo, maybe it's a problem that workers under capitalism can't buy their own products. I wonder if that'll lead to any of, like, one of the three crises of overproduction. I don't know.
I wonder if some dude from a couple hundred years ago ever wrote about how much, like, a linen coat should cost.
Mm-hmm. And the tendency for profit to decline. Like, I wonder if anybody had anything to say about any of these topics.
Funky ideas about any of this. Maybe historically relevant, maybe not. I don't know.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's beyond me. But anyway, what all of this should tell you straight up is that people in these fucking mega millionaire, billionaire classes that are investing in these companies stake their entire fucking next yacht, mm-hmm. not even their basic necessities, their next yacht on you not being able to afford the things that you produce with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make their money. They make their money because they have money and because you don't. Because that's the other end of the equation. Mm-hmm. They have money because you don't have money.
Right. And that's not even to mention, like, the necessities that you have to purchase.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's housing or food or education for your children. Or, yeah, car. Or other any other form of transportation. Like, they have all of this money because you're not able to afford the things that you need now. And even if you take the most well-off GM, Ford, Stellantis worker, whatever, they still, again, are producing so much more than they're actually paid.
Yeah.
And that's just the top guy. That's the top worker on the floor. Everybody else is below them. Like, what are we talking about?
It's dumb, man. Bro. I can't stand it.
Yeah, yeah. Does that sum up our union news this week?
That does sum up the UAW updates.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting next week to talk about Biden on the picket line
and
the dumb shit that Trump is inevitably going to say at his rally.
Debates, of course.
And debates.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to be there tonight if you're watching on Wednesday.
That's right.
At 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. for the pre-show.
8 p.m. for the pre-show.
8 p.m. for the pre-show. With us to watch the debates and watch whatever they have to say about the strike. Because I know the strike is going to come up,
mm-hmm.
and I know the government shutdown is going
to
come up.
I was just about to say, yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to dance around the government shutdown that Republicans are going to be responsible for.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to, maybe they're going to say, oh, we're shutting down because of electric vehicles. That's what Trump would say if he was up there. But
we're shutting down because the Democrats want an open border.
Yeah. Yeah. We're shutting down because we can't handle the billions of immigrants that have flooded across the border and that are taking your homes and your jobs.
We're shutting down because they defunded the police.
Oh, they defunded the police. The police can't do anything. So they got to shut down, even though they'll still be paid through the shutdown.
That was the only other news story I was going to bring up, was the government shutdown. I had thought maybe we'd see a Republican plan at this point, or like at least bullet points of what people are predicting is going to be in the plan, but I haven't seen anything in any headline yet that suggests that Republicans or any caucus has come out with a budget to introduce. And even if they do, it's unlikely at this point that they'll get Democrats on board and the freaks in the Freedom Caucus on board. I just don't see it happening.
The only thing that I had seen about the government shutdown was that the big takeaway, McCarthy is stressed.
Oh, yeah, he's fucked.
That dude is fucking shit. Years are being taken off this guy's life with his discourse right now. This speakership, not good for his health. He should step down.
Yeah, he should step down. Yeah, him and Bob Menendez both.
Exactly.
And Clarence Thomas.
Hell yeah. But anyway, I think he's trying to not reason, but tell the Freedom Caucus members, like, guys, what the fuck are you doing? Please, bro, just let us pass the budget.
Yeah, no.
Please.
And part of me thinks that the Freedom Caucus just wants to shut down the government.
I think so, too.
Obviously, again, not as bad as the breaching the debt ceiling would have been, but I think people like Matt Gaetz, probably Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, et cetera, they want to shut it down. Mm-hmm. Because they probably think it'll look bad on Biden, but depending on how the optics are spun, it could just look bad on them if enough people attribute the shutdown to Republicans just being crazy.
Which is our job.
Yeah.
Which is our job to get out there.
Well, we're telling you right now.
You know what we do around here. It's ridiculous.
Internationally syndicated podcast.
Serious news show.
Yeah.
We're basically C-SPAN.
Speaking of seriousness, and the people that syndicated this podcast with their own hands.
There we go.
On the keyboard.
There we go.
We got to give a special thanks to our patrons.
Yes, we do. So special thanks to Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Kotz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vezquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cutts, Gregory's and My Name, Veryuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Crawfishin, Benneth Bennington the Third, Alexia Benanti, Nietzsche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Cucker Tarleson, Danielle Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Signs, Aaron and His Gundamn Gundams, Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, L.E.N., John Glover, Weed Thief 69,
Devin Hatchard, Retro Mondo, Meatball Minion, Emma the Dupe Slayer, Claire McMillan, Breezy B, Elijah Murray, Veronica, a.k.a. V, Raxson, Ash Smith, The Grotler, Magic Ian 95, Flower Clown, Jasper and Garrus, Beetlebugs, Three Crows in a Trench Coat, Lonnie Rogers, Slavic and Sapphic, Casey Lynn Kelly, Snake Eyes, In Hope of Giants, A.K. Gone, Iquana Don, Zach Lantian, Info Russell, Austin Greif, Marcus Corbett, Caleb Roper, Taylor Rensock, Ishi Teddy, Cammy, Calliope, Reagan, Not Like the President, Pagan Jester, Tylen Freeman, Steak Daddy, Tay-Tay, Isaac Hodges, Madeline C., Pab the Pab 69, Kayla Lowe, Anna Valenik, Eduardo Diaz, KCC, Say Yes to Wes, August, Mason Crack, Jeff Signs, Howard the Duck, Brendan is Egg, JR and My Mom. Thank you all so much.
So much. Couldn't do it without you.
And we literally couldn't.
And no, if you want me to get to your name eventually, you better get people onto the Sunday Supremacist list. Yeah,
if you want your name read by Gabe.
If you want your name read by me, the guy who does the first half of the list, you better start recruiting your friends to hop on
so
there.
You can push yourself further and further up.
Exactly.
You know, make sure to come out for the live coverage of the debate that we're going to do. We hope to see you all there. And if you want your name on this list, you got to become a patron.
If you are
a patron and you deserve your name on this list and we missed it, let us know. Notifications fly past. We're busy dudes.
Exactly. You could come to the live stream and let us know in a YouTube chat.
Exactly. Let us know. Hey, fuck y'all. What the hell?
Hey, yo, fuck y'all. My name is and you didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
You could do that to us if you want.
I feel bad. You'd watch me go.
And then start sobbing.
I'd
be like, sorry, guys. Live stream's done.
Because we have a relationship that I wouldn't want to jeopardize.
Exactly. A real intense relationship, non-parasocial.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
As always.
Thank you all for listening to the episode.
Have a great week.
We'll catch y'all later.